And I know it must have been a bitter disappointment, Eric, when Mr. Trudeau chose Jack Horner to join the Liberal cabinet, not him. Even though Jack Horner puts his foot in his mouth, I understand you can put words in Eric's mouth. And Jack Horner, at the Conservative leadership conference, voted. His first choice was for Jack Horner, and his second choice was for Claude Wagner. Eric's first choice was for Joel Wagner, and his second choice was for Claude Clark. Eric, you've been sitting now for 20 years in the House of Commons representing the Yukon. You've been sitting as a Conservative, a blue Conservative. A true blue Conservative, because you've been sitting on a plank so long looking for a platform, even Santa Claus this year looks blue. In conclusion, I really don't want to wish Eric many happy returns of the day, but I will concede that if you continue to fly and dance divinely, you'll likely be in a shoe-in for many years yet. Thank you, Hilda.
One of the best descriptions I've come across in my research on Eric appeared in a column by his fellow MP, Doug Fisher, who, noting his tall, lean stance with head tilted inquiringly, pointing that accusing finger, described him as a living question mark. Walter Stewart, in a Toronto Star feature headed The MP Who Bared the Bribery Scandal, said, "The wartime bomber pilot is still dropping bombs, but now they're aimed at the Liberal government." The trenchant Tory from Whitehorse was marked as a man to watch. Stewart's description went on, "Spare, poised, and dangerous like a hawk hovering to strike. It is a striking nose, large, firm, slightly curved, a magnificent beak that goes before him into battle like some triumphant bugle. This is a nose for thrusting into other people's affairs. For threatening and battering. It is an assertive nose and marks his self-reliance as clearly as any flag." Now we have a message from another man with a good nose. I'll tell you before I read this one. Tim Cole. "No one has disturbed the tranquility of the Yukon more than you in your first 20-year stint as our MP. You bring Deep the Chief through the Yukon, and as a consequence, Dawson gets the Palace Grand Theatre rebuilt. Whitehorse has been bitter ever since, and has recently offered us an even trade-off, the return of the capital to Dawson for the Palace Grand. The result of your bringing Alvin Hamilton to Yukon was the vision of the North, with, as Lester Pearson put it, building roads from igloo to igloo. The Dempster Highway is near completion, and once again you are a disturber. We now have to build service stations, cafes, and roadhouses deep into the Arctic. Inuvik will have road transportation through Yukon to the outside, and they also will be burdened with the cost of building facilities for the influx of the touring world driving into the Arctic. And look at all the dust they'll make. Looking into the near future, we have the fear of our mineral wealth, pipelines, super roads, airports, power grids, cities, and even a smelter. Our population will swell to the point where we must become a province, and that will disturb many people in Ottawa. You have finished the political careers of more Yukoners than the NDPs and Liberals care to contemplate. Once in a while, just to prove that you are human, you get sloppy in your organizing. For instance, you worked for years to get a Senate seat for the Yukon, but boy, was your timing off. In a kinder vein, we wish to join thousands of other Yukoners who are thankful you are a PC, Tim and Norma Cole. To get back to the descriptions in the popular press of days gone by, the Yukon MP seems more suited to slinging snowballs than fashioning igloos. And in opposition, he presents the exciting prospect of a man whose every snowball is likely to contain a rock. Speaking of snowballs, I want to call up a man who really knows about snow, Bob Adams.
Eric pees in his bath because I'll never forget that. Our house faced east, and we were just on the on Elliott Street off 2nd Avenue, and I can remember my wife looking out there one morning, and here it was in blazing in White Rocks right across the bank of the river right below the Indian graveyard. Eric pees in his bath. You could see it for 50 miles. It was beautiful. I asked Eric, and he said, no, in the shower. I was given another item today in the hotel, and it has nothing to do with roasting Eric, but since it's the season to be jolly, I thought I might as well pass it on. I've had to work it over a little bit for obvious reasons. It says, hope everyone made it through the holidays in good fashion. I read the following excerpt from the Diary of Santa and thought you might like to know what he said. You think you've got it bad? All night long I had soot in the chimneys, smelly socks, cross dogs, shot at, mistaken for a stork, driving all night in the snow, damn near got killed by a 747, Mrs. Claus, mad, I'll just put that in. I didn't see that there in time to change it. Quite annoyed, anyway, because I got in late. And that isn't all. Donner, Blitzen, and Rudolph got the trots over Albuquerque. I changed that. You should see my suit. The damn elves won't clean the sleigh unless I pay them double time. I'm so sick of cookies and milk I could vomit. The only highball I had all night was when I slipped getting out of the sleigh. Prostate's giving me hell. I wet my pants 20,000 feet and froze the seat. I'm allergic to pine needles and I itch all over. I think my hemorrhoids are back. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Now, I found it quite difficult running around first in Jasper and Edmond, rushing up to people and saying, what do you know about Eric Nielsen, it's bad or dirty? You get a lot of dumb remarks. You're ignored mainly, so I had quite a time digging things up about Eric. So I'm going to try to tell you some things tonight that Eric has said to me or has said to other people that you haven't read and answered or possibly haven't seen in the record. Now, I found out, I didn't know until tonight he was born in Regina. I found out he was born very young and in rather poor shape. That when the doctor slapped his bottom to start him breathing, his belly button fell off. They didn't do a very good job in tying up the umbilical cord, and the knot came undone, and he went off all over the bloody room like a balloon. More kids that way, but they got him back. They pumped him up again and re-knotted him. However, I about 20 years, I think that knot slipped because there's been a little bit of leaking hot air for the last 20 years. He did a hitch in the Air Force, and when he came up here, he was a young Air Force officer. I think he still liked to have worn his uniform. He was a bit of a smart ass. That's a person that can sit on an ice cream cone and tell you the flavor. I sold him his first airplane. Is that right, Eric? Cornell?
Yeah, I never did fly.
You never did pay for it. What the hell? That was a good airplane. But he was really not that good. He didn't know much about aircraft mechanics. He knew the wings held it up and the engine pulled it through the air, but you should have heard of the definition of a tail assembly. Picnic, that's ridiculous. And he wasn't that good really in the air. He got over the tower in Watson Lake one time, a couple thousand feet, and he asked for the time. They gave him a time check and they said, came back and said, well, if you're CPA, it's 1400 hours. If you're Transair, it's 2 p.m. And if you're Eric Nielsen, the little hand, the big hands on 12 and the little hands on 2. I always remember a joke he told me. He wasn't much for telling jokes, but he told me one joke and embarrassed the hell out of me. So I think I should tell it to you tonight so that he can be embarrassed, because it was really terrible. This was a story about a young lady who, when her husband left, she had a boyfriend who came in, and they had a bit of a time. This one morning, her husband came back, broke up the little game, and so she said, for heaven's sake, go and hide in the closet. So this fellow rushes into the closet. It's dark as the dickens, and he's standing there amongst all the clothes, and he's trying to get his clothes straightened around a bit. And all of a sudden, he hears a little voice saying, gee, it's dark in here. And God, he straightened up, and he felt around, and finally felt this little wee duffer, and he said, what are you doing here? He said, never mind. He said, I saw what you were doing, and he said, I'm going to tell my dad. So he said, now, just a minute. He said, we'll stop with us. He said, no, I'm telling my dad. Well, he says, how much will it cost not to tell? He said, $50. He said, $50? He said, yeah, otherwise I'd tell my dad. So he paid him $50. And the next day, his mother was in the room, and she saw Johnny count the other's money, and she said, where'd you get that money? And he wouldn't tell her. And so she finally threatened within an inch of his life, and so he told her. And she said, that's disgusting. She said, I want you to go right down to confession right away. So the little kid wandered down and he walked into church. He goes into confession. He pulls the door closed and he's standing there and he said, gee, it's dark in here. And this voice says, come on, son, let's not start that again. That's the one you told me, Eric, because I didn't have to even clean that one up. He's pretty well known for some of his sayings in the House of Commons, and they don't necessarily get printed and answered. He always maintained that really hormones are not a big bust. They're actually the noise they make if you don't pay them. And that he said that one time that the abortion laws in Newfoundland were so successful they had a 12-month waiting list. Claimed he had a girlfriend one time that was so frigid when they were sitting in the front room in the Chesterfield, she uncrossed her legs, the furnace thermostat cut in. He claimed he knew a member of the Liberal Party that was such an ass that he used Preparation H for mouthwash. Also said that people with long hair were like sardines. If you want to tell the sex, you had to watch which can they came out of. He was once asked if he believed in reincarnation. He said, well, he didn't really, but if he ever did believe in reincarnation, he'd like to come back in this earth as a stud. He was afraid somebody would drive him into a snow tire. Actually, I think that this whole RCMP investigation that's going on was started by Eric. You can blame him for the whole thing. And I was interested to hear a couple of times tonight they mentioned the name Lucien Rivard. And this is very true. Before we left, I think it was 1965. 64 or 65 when Inspector Joe Vachon, the RCMP, was leaving, and we were having a farewell party in the government residence, commissioner's residence. And it wasn't a large group. There were about 40 or 45, but about 2 months later, this was the time that Lucien Rivard was missing. And about 2 months later, my mother happened to be up visiting us, and she was going through the guest book, and by golly, there's Lucien Rivard's name in the government guest book, written in beautiful handwriting, and it's there today if you want to check it. The reason I'm telling you this is that Eric was trying to fool everybody, you know, that he was just around locally, and actually he had him hidden up here and had the gall to send him to the bloody party for the RCMP. The last story I remember Eric telling, and I wish the hell you hadn't, Eric, it's a terrible story, was the fellow that bought the racehorse that talked. Eric says, don't tell that. Okay. Actually, it's not that bad. The fellow bought a racehorse that talked, and he was doing very well. Every time the horse was in good shape, he'd say, look, I can win the race, bet lots of money on me because I'm going to come in first. And he would. This one time, the fellow put a bundle on the horse, and he was coming in first, and just about 20 yards from the finish, he looked back over his shoulder, and he stumbled a bit, and this little horse went by. So the fellow took the horse in the back and said, what happened? He said, well, there was this little filly, and I saw her coming up on the outside, and I just happened to take a glance at her, and I tripped on a pebble. Well, he said, it's women that's bothering. He said, well, fix that. So they made a gelding out of him. So this took a little while to, you know, lose his pride and everything else. It took a little while from getting in shape and finally say, look, I can win the big one. Mortgage the house because we can go for the big work. So the fellow did. And, of course, the horses line up at the gate. The gun went, the bell, and the gates came up, and this horse took one leap, and down it went. Everything went by it. So when the owner got back to the stables, he said, what in the devil happened? Well, he said, I'll tell you, boss. He said, I knew I could beat them all. I knew I could. I was in good shape. But he said, you know, when the bell went, and the gates went up, and the whole crowd shouted, they're off. He said, I was so embarrassed, I tripped and fell flat on my face. So I think, really, I'm convinced of this, Eric. You should take up law or something, some sort of a profession, because you're never going to make it in politics, in the political arena. I don't think you can last.
One more message here. Special delivery from Ottawa. It's from Eric's secretaries in Ottawa. Your Ottawa secretaries regret very much that due to economic restraints, heavy workload, and inclement weather, we are unable to be in attendance at this auspicious occasion. Especially since we would have dearly loved to make our mutterings audible under the cloak of immunity. Please accept this gift in the same spirit in which it is given. Sorry, it isn't a calendar clock. Congratulations and our best wishes, Ottawa Secretary. Eric? And while you're opening that, we have one more greeting from Archie and Barbara Curry at Tagish, Eric. They phoned to express their regrets that they couldn't get here tonight, and they wanted to extend their heartiest congratulations and best wishes to you, Barbara and Archie Curry.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to call on Jan Kepke to come up and wind up the festivities. And I told Eric he couldn't speak. But I think he wants to, for maybe 30 seconds. Dean says that if you say to a politician you can speak for 30 seconds, that means 5 minutes. So, thank you, Dan. Oh. Thank you, Flo.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, after all the great speakers, I'm not even going to attempt to make any kind of a hilarious, uproarious speech. I'll get down to the more serious side. It's my pleasure to be able to be the one to present a gift to Eric on behalf of all these people assembled, your friends, acquaintances, and also members, of course, of the PC Association. Eric, would you stand? So I may hand you this gift and offer you our sincere thanks and good wishes for your future years.
My secretary is in Ottawa. Is an alarm clock. Sometimes I miss dates. Without them, believe me, I wouldn't get to all of the commitments that I have to be at, which are 90% outside of the House of Commons, for those that might wonder why I'm not there. The other gift, which is really, really fantastic from the association, is a gold nugget pair of cufflinks. Just beautiful. I've never owned a pair. I thank you very much for the thought behind it. I thought we were going to make money on this roast.
That's right.
I wanted to say a few lighthearted things about some of the roasters that have taken the same liberty with my reputation and character. The rest of the Watson Lake crowd would come up here in such numbers. Don Taylor is there. He's almost a resident of Whitehorse now, though. And that Howard Tracy I see there, I think. My vision is not going that rapidly from Carmax. Sorry that Archie couldn't be here tonight. And all of those others that made the long journey to what has turned out to be a really memorable evening for me, as I'm sure it will turn out to be for you. A lot of work has gone into it. Jan Kepke, our president, and her executive, have put many hours into its planning, and the organizer, who has turned out an absolutely perfect return, is Paul LaBrache. Fantastic job, Paul. My personal thanks are added to those that I'm sure you're getting from everyone else. Flow Wired, I don't know. Who can follow Flow Wired? You know, it's just fantastic. But I do say some very kind words for two gentlemen that have traveled a long distance. They really don't know how long until they make the trip. No amount of attempting to convince members of Parliament in Ottawa the difficulties, the trials and tribulations of a simple journey from A to B can convince them that coming from Ottawa to the Yukon is really something different. Mark has been here before on the Standing Committee on the Constitution, but I'm sure it never ceases to amaze him. It reminds me of Bob Stanfield. When he made his first trip up here, he came on the slow run, and he got off the airplane, and in that dour sense of humor of his, the first that there should be it should be a nonpartisan sort of thing. So I racked my brains as to who I could call upon, who I could consider a close friend
an intimate friend in the house from the opposite side, and I don't have too many on my own side of the house, let alone the opposite side, simply because I simply don't mingle. But Mark and I, Mark McQuiggan, who is an extremely distinguished academician, apart from that, has chaired and is now chairing the Standing Committee on Justice and Legal Affairs. And where I really got to know him well was in our work on the standing on the subcommittee on the penitentiary system in the country. And we traveled all over Canada and all over the United States, visiting maximum and minimum security institutions, psychiatric institutions, which you'll be happy to know and observe that I have escaped from. I was locked in, as a matter of fact, in one of those institutions with 40 or 50 odd inmates for a while. Maybe Mark didn't even hear that for about 10 minutes. But Mark is a highly respected and highly regarded member of Parliament, and I consider it a singular honor that he should come here in a conservative fundraising dinner to speak as a colleague of mine, as a friend of mine from the House of Commons. There are very few of Mark's caliber and of Mark's distinction in the House. I don't know why he's not a cabinet minister. Dean Whiteway is from Manitoba. He is a freshman, as he has styled himself, Chichaco, as others have styled him. He has some things to learn yet. He told a good many stories tonight, but he'll learn very soon that some people use tact, which he's great at using. He's a Mennonite, you know. I keep on telling him that if he keeps up the way he's going, that he's going to be excommunicated from the Mormon Church. But some people use tact, and some people tell the truth. I'm also delighted to see here tonight so many young people. Johnny Friend, Bob Corso, Amy Oldfield, and all the rest. Victoria Faulkner. I shouldn't forget Victoria. I heard a story tonight about Yukon elections. I forget which roaster raised it, about controverting elections. I think it was Flo. And many of the longtime Yukoners remember Black Mike, and some of the not so longtime Yukoners. When we controverted that election, Black Mike, who used to be a member of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police when he first came up here, he says, "Look, you think you're breaking new ground? I got news for you." He says, back in 98, there was a federal, 1901, the first federal election up here. It was a territorial election. It was 98. He says, we had an election in Dawson and at Sulphur Creek where there were four registered voters when we got the ballot box back by dog team some 6 or 7 days later. There were 232 ballots in the box. They even voted the dogs, he said. I was going to say what Gordon Cameron has already said, that business about the bathtub. That was a brainchild of Cal Miller, as a matter of fact. When we painted the hill across the river from the White Pass Depot, and we just it was the YPCs, actually, the Young Progressive Conservatives, and they put up on the hill Eric for Ottawa or some such thing, and they left the Eric there and put an apostrophe on it and said peas in the tub, you know. And they just didn't know that I don't bathe in the tub. I always take a shower. For a minute there, I thought Tony had the real RCMP file on me, but I'm rather relieved to know that he doesn't. Tony, He's, I haven't known him too long, the last election he ran. Tony's a socialist. I think he's a socialist. My understanding of a socialist is that, generally speaking, he's a person that's given up all hope of becoming a capitalist. In my conversations with him, he's usually indicated to me that there are always two sides to a question in which he's not interested. And he always says a lot of, so eloquently about capital and labor, as most socialists do, and yet being a person that never had any capital and never did any labor, I question his expertise. But, well, that's the idea, it's a reply, you know. Someone said something about recruiting and made mention of Jack Horner and the price. And I want to lay at rest at once that there is no truth at all to any rumor that may be in existence or which may generate that Mark McQuiggan is transferring to the Tory side. He's actually a well-known lecturer. I've already described his eminent qualifications to you. He's quite a lecturer. He travels from coast to coast on an annual boast-to-boast tour. And Hilda, I thought that you were going to tell all about Beaver Creek. And I know that some people here may be thinking the wrong things, and I want to, first of all, say that I've flown John Turner around the Yukon in a beaver, and it didn't affect him. And secondly, that there's no truth at all to the rumor that we shared the same room. John Turner and I didn't stay together either. And that, those stories of Bob Earlham's. You know, when I first came to practice law here with George Van Rogge, that was the original partnership, Van Rogge and Nielsen. And he's now a senator on the liberal side. He was not married. He married subsequently the widow of Buzz Bierling, a famous wartime ace of the Spitfires, who killed himself flying warplanes to Israel. And we lived in our law office. My wife was still in Edmonton with my family, and I was looking for a house. And so the back end of our law office, which now stands where the Yukon Center is, an old panel building, was our living quarters. And the front end was an office for George and an office for me and our secretary and a receptionist, a bookkeeper. Everything was in one then. And the clients used to come in the morning and be received by a receptionist whose office was the only access to our shower. And so first George and then myself would go through with our towel over our arm, with the clients sitting on the seats in the outer office, and take our shower and go back, and they'd smell the odor of aroma of bacon and eggs frying, and then we'd finally get into the office and deal with the clients. But those were the Van Rogge days. But that story about the wine is not true. I didn't go on the wagon. Only George and Vic Wiley went on the wagon. And as soon as they went on the wagon, I didn't see them for months until they sobered up. And Ken, you know, humor is a great thing. Man is really the only animal that laughs. And coincidentally, he's the only animal that has a legislature. Ken is wearing a suit tonight. Did you notice? Yeah. And I said this here, and my colleague said in the House of Commons, as soon as TV came into the House of Commons, I showed up in a suit, and they said, who are you? You know, establishment in a suit. So there we are. There we are, the two of us. Dave Robertson, somebody referred to him as an army brat. I've always looked on Dave Robertson as being a very talented person, and a person who recognizes opportunities when he sees them. He came to a small town where he knew that everyone knew all the news before the paper comes out, but merely took the paper to see whether or not the editor got the stories according to the way they heard them. And Dave, really, it's nice to have an election every 4 years, just so that people can regain their faith. There are two kinds of voters in an election campaign, and I and all of those who form the association in the Yukon, of which I am really, really proud in a sincere moment. And it's difficult to convince a lot of hard campaign workers that there are only two kinds of voters. But eventually they get around to it, recognizing the fact that there are those voters who will vote for your candidate and a lot of ignorant, prejudiced fools. And someone once told me that you can't fool all the people all the time. Somebody used that phrase tonight. But we've never found that necessary. We've always thought that all we needed was a majority. And then Gordon Cameron, God bless him, coming all the way from Edmonton, not just to roast me, which I consider a very great honor, but to meet a lot of his old friends, and he'll always have them in the Yukon, always. I've always thought, and you've seen it tonight, I've always thought that Gordon was a great wit. But so many of my friends have told me that I'm only half right. But then that seems to be the central most criteria for qualifying for the position of commissioner. I am very grateful and greatly honored by the presence of everyone here tonight, and I thank you for responding as you have. The first sign, they say, of a lack of humility is a statement that you feel that way, but I do feel that way tonight. The only reason I'm here is because of you. And I like to hope that in my own sometimes hesitant and sometimes milquetoast fashion, and then yet at other times perhaps overly aggressive in the view of others, have helped somehow in shaping the future course of the Yukon, and helped in serving you in my own fashion. I am grateful, I am honored, and I really feel quite touched by the roast tonight, and I thank all of those that had to do with anything with respect to the organizing of it, and I really hope that you enjoyed your evening as much as I have. Thank you.
We'll just take one more moment of your time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to ask Helen Couch, the past president of the Yukon Progressive Conservative Association, to thank the people who should be thanked.
This is a most delightful occasion for me to congratulate our MP, Eric, for his 20 years of excellent service to all constituents in the Yukon. I would like to thank the following: the Mistress of Ceremonies, Flo Wire, the Organizing Committee, Paul LaBrache, and Mary Kay O'Neill. A wonderful job well done. The guests from Ottawa who honored us with their presence, and thanks to the roasters and guests who paid tribute to Eric, our MP. Thank you.
There's one person I should have mentioned, and as soon as I sat down, I remembered. She has become the heart throb of the job in the Yukon on site, and that's Mary Kay O'Neill. She does a fantastic job.
Good night. Hope you had fun.
Well, that was Eric Nielsen's roast, and that's it for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. Good night.